Greater Faith Outreach, a ministry reaching the world by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. If you need a word of hope, encouragement, prayer, or a copy of today's program, contact us at 253-473-2837. That's 253-GREATER. Log on to greaterfaithoutreach.com. Now I present to you the host of the program, motivational speaker, teacher of the Word of God, Pastor Elizabeth.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Greater Faith Outreach Ministry here at KLAY 1180 AM, reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm happy to be here with you tonight. I hope you get your Bibles ready because the Lord has a word for you tonight. The last time we left off, we talked about three wise men, and we talked about Solomon, Job, and then we got into a little bit of Paul, and then I said we was going to get into the book of Romans. And so tonight we're going to enter into the book of Romans. But the topic we were talking about from the last study, we're talking about these three wise men came to the conclusion that the inner man, the old Adam nature, was like the beast. So we're going to have a moment of prayer. Lord. Yes, and the key thing is knowledge, okay? Knowing, to be aware. You know, the awareness, the understanding, you know, to experience and study God's word. And that's where we find knowledge, is in studying and going through the experience. I've been studying the word of God and teaching the word of God for years and years. And I tell you, the more I give out, the more the Lord gives back in. You know, we're ever learning, because there's so much to know. You see, we are new creatures now. So we're learning a whole new way of living life in the spiritual realm. So we're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 7. Okay. I'd like to call this the exchange life. Amen. So we talked about Paul, the last teaching, and Paul said, Romans 7, verse 24, he said, "O wretched man am I, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So let's go to 7 verses. Let's start here at verse 7. Okay, 7:7. "What shall I say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet,' but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me and killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandments is holy and just and good. Has then what is good became death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandments might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual," this is the key, "but I am carnal, sold under death. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Wow. We're going to talk about this a little bit, okay? This man, Paul, is earnestly seeking for the key of knowledge here. The key that will unlock the mystery of how to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. This man, Paul, himself, in the law of God, after he goes after the law, from the inward man, okay, and the desire to be partaker. He desires to be partaker of that heavenly manner, which is Jesus Christ. But this man finds a law that when he wants to do good, evil is present with him. And you see here, right here is a perfect example of where a lot of Christians live. They never get any further than this. And I've heard people say before, well, Paul couldn't make it. But we're going to show you how Paul made it and how we can make it. Amen. This man, for I know that in me, he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. See, this is the key, because the flesh is carnal, sold under sin, okay? It's carnal. It cannot understand or follow the things of God, or the flesh can't do it on its own, because the law was designed to show us that we needed something more, okay? Isn't that something to find out that there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh? See, we don't want to come to that. A lot of times, you know, we as, you know, human people, we think we're so, you know, superior, so this and then we're so that, you know. But we hate to see that inside of us, if we really agree with what the Lord said, that inside the flesh dwelleth no good things. All our good works are like filthy rags to God. You know, if we come to that conclusion and see that, even though it's a very hard thing to accept, a hard thing to swallow, you know, and to admit, but it's true. It's a shameful thing that nothing good dwells within a man. And we're going to show you, and we're going to go through this and show you why. Okay, let's go to quickly and see what's in man and why Paul come to the conclusion that there's no good thing in man. Okay, we can go to all the way back here. Let's go to Genesis. Okay. It's in Genesis. Okay. You're probably familiar with it, but we're going to just talk about it, and then you can find it at home, because it's in Genesis, and where it talks about there's no good thing in man, you know, and God saw that man was wicked. He was wicked, and all types of things were going on inside of man, and so God was so upset with what he saw, so he decided he would create anew. He said, man, all the desires and everything about man was evil, evil through and through. And so that's when God told Noah to prepare that ark, because he was going to destroy the whole creation, because he saw the hearts of man. See, if we could only see what God sees, and we do see once we get into the Spirit, once we get born again, we can agree with God and we see what God says. And we come to terms with that, and we ask God for his help. That's why we all need a Savior once we come to terms with that and we see that there's no good thing. Okay, in Ezekiel, we have another scripture here that shows what God is going to do with that old man, okay? And this was This was a covenant that God showed to Ezekiel way back thousands and thousands of years ago. He showed Ezekiel this. And we're going to start verse 36. 24. For I will take from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own countries. Then will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put in you a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and I will keep my judgment and to with them. And you see, this is what God is telling us about. This is the new birth right here. This is why God said, I will take out that old hard heart, and give you a soft heart. This is what he's saying right here, to take that heart out. So follow with me here. And so that's why Paul was having that struggle. He was still having the struggle with that old man. And he said, you see, as he said here, he said, I myself with the body, you know, but with the flesh, the law. He said, I follow it with the body, but with the flesh, I follow the law. Then the man has a mind that is carnal. You see, this man has a mind that is carnal. His mind is enmity against God. See, the mind, that's why we just read in Ezekiel, he said, I'll put a new mind in you. You know, I will take out that deceitful heart, you know, that deceitful area of you, that wickedness, and I'll give you that Holy Spirit, the new man, the new heart I'll put within you. The heart refers to mind, which is the soul, where the source of all thinking and all feelings and all that idolatry acts are. You know, that is traced back to the soul. And that's why he said, I'm going to redo the whole thing. I'm going to give you a whole new system inside. You see, and that's what we must do. And that's what God is doing. That's why it's called the regenerating process. So he is regenerating us. And see, that's the only way we can know these things is through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us with those deep things of God. And see, the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches us, you know. But those are two types of people. That's why we need to understand exactly what's in the soul of a man. You know, we have that mind, the will, and the emotion of Adam before we get regenerated, before, you know, we get justified and then sanctified. We have that old nature and all those things are flowing within there, that old man, the old Adam. And it's like a concrete wall until the Holy Spirit comes in there and break down these things and show us these things, you know. And so this is what we deal with before, you know, the regeneration process start kicking in. Anyway, Paul was having this struggle. He said, Paul, this man has a body ruled by sin. Sin is reigning in his mortal body, you know, and he's obeying the sin of law. For if we live after the flesh, the scripture says, we will die spiritually. But if we learn how to mortify the deeds of the body through the spirit, we shall live. We must yield our members, the members of our bodies, as instruments of righteousness unto God and not as instruments of unrighteousness. Yes, we, you know, there's things that... it's so many things that we must know, but the key things to know, we must know that what's inside the old man and why we had to take the old man to the cross, okay? Because the old man is carnal and it's an enemy to God, you know? You can't we can't receive through the old man, so he has to give us that new nature. And the law, okay? The law, the Greek term for the law here means an inward principle. Action, either good or evil, operating with the regularity of a law. The term also designates a standard for a person's life. The Apostle Paul describes three different laws here. And the first law, the law of sin, which was operating through his flesh, causing him to sin. Paul, just like all other believers, need another law to overcome the law of sin and Satan. You see? And that's the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death. You know, in chapter 6, I believe, it talks about once you get married. It's not talking about a physical marriage here. It's this example about a marriage. I'm going to go there really quick here because it's very important that we know this. Oh, okay, it's in 7. Chapter 7, starting at verse 3. It says, we can go up to 7:2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. He's talking about, don't lose me here. He's talking about, this is an example, okay? But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law so that she is no adulteress. So she has married another man. Therefore, my brother you also became dead to the law. Get this. Through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit unto God. See, now we're no longer married to the law, we're married to Jesus. The law was just a picture to show us that we could not maintain this in the flesh. The flesh can't handle this. We have to be in Christ Jesus in order for the law to be fulfilled. The law is fulfilled through Christ, okay? By following this law, believers can actually fulfill the righteous requirement of God's law. See, the law, like Paul said, he said, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul through sin. But now, once we receive the Holy Spirit, that gives the Holy Spirit the right to come in and regenerate our body, to quicken our mortal body, okay, and do that process. I remember a song, I don't know, it just came to me. I remember this song I used to sing years and years ago, way back before I really realized what I was singing. It was just a pretty song, and we'd all sing it in church, and I remember singing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. You know, it sounds good, you know, and everything, but you think about what you're saying, you know? It says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, okay? Given permission to prepare me, you know, but I thank God that, you know, he heard my cry, you know, that I really wanted it. I didn't understand it at the time, but that's what he's doing, that work of preparation. He comes in and prepare you so he can live within us. See, we are a lamp. We carry that oil and the Holy Spirit. See, God wants the kingdom to come and dwell within us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to indwell in us, not temples made of hands, but made from the Lord. He, not that building anymore, like Solomon made the big, lavish, big, beautiful buildings, the temples and everything. We are now the temple of the living God. Wow, isn't that powerful? For him to dwell. So he has to prepare a place within us so he can live and indwell there. So that's beautiful. That's powerful. But that's what he has to do. He has to come in and he has to mortify the deeds of the flesh, you know, so he can come in and live and show us how to live within the realm of the spirit. But this man will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. As he learns to purge himself from these things, see, we're getting purged every day. And see, the scripture, the word of God, you know, by following the word of God, it's a few things that we must do daily, you know. And, you know, we have to know. Like I said, knowledge is key. Knowledge is powerful. Know that the old man was crucified once Jesus went to the cross. It was crucified. We must know that. Number two, we must reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. Three, we must yield our temples, yield our members, the instruments. We must yield those to the Holy Spirit, and we must obey. These things are key. And reading the word of God, you know, by getting this word filters out. And, you know, the blood of Jesus, it cleanses our conscience of dead works. See, all this is going on inside. And we must know these processes. It's good to know that, you know. It's good to know. People can tell you, oh, you got to live a sanctified life, but how do you do it? Who are you? Where did you come from? You know, we must know these things. You know, these are very vital, you know. Like I said, God said, my people perish from lack of knowledge. He wants us to know what is the law, what is flesh, what is self, you know, what is sin and death, what is the laws, what is these things? We must know these things. And once we know these things, see, ooh, devil, get back, you know. And a lot of times people think it was the devil doing it. It's a lot of times that we're doing it. It's us. It's that inner man, that enemy inside, you know. And that's why we have to stay there and let God do that process, do that transforming work in us, you know, that sanctification work in us, preparing us to be holy, tried, and true, you know. And, you know, just like we, you know, we talked about a few weeks ago about the children of Israel, he had to take them through the wilderness process in order to find out what was in their heart. He wanted them to see. And see, once we see that, we loathe ourselves. We say, oh, that old man, you know, we loathe the old man. And who wants to go back to that lowly nature, the soulless nature? We were living totally from the soulless nature, not from the spirit. We was disconnected from God. We had no spiritual perception. Even we were doing things our own way. We were doing that Babylon. We had that Babylon mindset, that Egypt, you know, slave mentality, you know, thing, doing it our own way. And, you know, this is such a beautiful thing. And I thank God, you know, for the patience that he had with me. You know, I thank God for it, you know. He loves us so much, and he wants to point these things out and show us. And it doesn't make us less human. It makes us more human. It makes us see that we need the Lord. You know, the more we get him, the more we seek him, the more we love him. The more we love him, the more we want more of him. You know, the more we know that the more that we realize that we need him. You know, we need a Savior. That old man. You know, wow, you know, God takes the blindness off our eyes and we can see, you know, who we are in Christ Jesus. We know our identity now. And I thank God for identity. You know, we can walk around the world for years and years and years. And like I tell people, the worst thing is to leave this world not knowing what God has for you or who you are or who your identity is. That's the worst thing, you know. We have much more we're going to cover on this, but we're going to continue on the exchange life, exchanging the old man for the new man, exchanging that old Adam nature for the life that God has for us. Because remember, he told us that we were created in his image, in his likeness, you know? But because of the fall of man, it just turned things upside down. But now through the blessings, you know, that Christ had given us when he died on that cross, now we can get that transference. Now we can get that exchanged life. And I just thank God for that. And I always, you know, would like to invite anybody who doesn't know the Lord to invite you into the kingdom of God, you know, the family of God, and, you know, just let the Lord just start that work in you. And it's simple, you know, as simple as saying, Lord, I want to know the plans that you have for my life. I realize that I can't live this life on my own. I realize that you said in your word that I was created in your image and your likeness. And Lord, I'm ready for that. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. Forgive me. I agree with you. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. He was the payment for my sin. And I received that free gift. And I'm ready for you to begin that process in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have, you know, said that prayer, that simple prayer of asking him in and agreeing with him, you are now in the family of the Lord. It's all by faith. And see, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you continue in the word daily, moment by moment. You know, we're crucifying the flesh moment by moment so Christ can come in and live in us. And so we can be fruitful and productive in everything that we do. You know, when you walk in, yeah, it's hard, you know, but it's daily, daily. It gets easier and easier and easier because he's with you. And you see the love of God. And he opens up things that you could have never imagined that was around you. And you can see that. You know, he wants you to know the plans and purpose of your life. So we're getting ready. I see my time is winding down. And we're going to continue this next week. We're talking about the exchanged life. I love you. God loves you. And I hope that you join me next week. Amen.
If you need a word of hope, encouragement, prayer, or a copy of today's program, contact us at 253-473-2837. That's 253-GREATER. Log on to greaterfaithoutreach.com.